The city of Hiroshima lies prostrate after the withering blast which wiped out 53,000 of its population. 4 square miles of buildings leveled by the first of 2 small bombs that decided the fate of Japan. Nagasaki, a great naval base, which became the second target 3 days later. This time, the explosion was concentrated within 1 square mile, making the devastation even more complete.
Hello again. You've come to the History Room, and that's just kind of a little clip that you heard there as an intro. This is John, your friendly historian here, who's going to just briefly talk a little bit about a major event in August of 1945, and that's been, since this is August 2022, I guess that's been about, what, 77 years ago here in August. I guess on August the 6th was the first bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima, and 3 days later there was a bomb dropped on Nagasaki, and that would have been, I guess, August the 9th. And then by August the 14th of 1945, I think finally that Japan capitulated and decided to waved the white flag and said that they are going to surrender. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting what had to happen with not really that, you know, Japan did come and attack some of the property that the United States had back in December of 1941 that made that America have to get involved in the big, great World War II. Not the Great War, which is World War I, but another Great War, which became World War II history. But this bomb really was all set up back in the early 1940s, back through a project known as Manhattan Project. And it was all set up, I think, on the east, like somewhere, maybe, if not in New York City, I guess in Washington, D.C., and it looked like it was Vinci where the idea about creating a bomb that could be dropped on a country and would cause a devastating explosion that, you know, could kill, like, you know, probably if not 60,000, maybe 70,000 people or even more. But it looked like it started like in November 1942, and it looks like the military man by the name of Leslie R. Groves was connected with it, with a famous physicist named J. Robert Oppenheimer, or Oppenheimer, I guess it's Oppenheimer. And they got together, and it, you know, was going forward with building actually an atomic bomb that could actually be used in the war. And this went on for a couple of years because a location was in a place called Los Alamos, New Mexico, out in the west. And looks like the first time, I guess, it was tested was in July 16th of 1945. And this place was, I guess, outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Los Alamos, that is. And so that, you know, kind of really became then kind of a way to maybe put it out there to the world that, even though maybe, I'm sure, Germany was, I'm sure, building bombs that they could actually use to blow up, I don't know, different places around the world that they could actually get a hold of, and they could just try to destroy, not just all of Europe, but I guess come to America and destroy America and possibly Canada, and then even go forward to other countries around the world. Of course, thinking the 1943, 44, I think it's more in 44 that I think that Germany was developing. Think they were called V6 rockets or something that were able to be, shot up in the air and actually were able to, be, kind of sent toward maybe, I don't know about France, since it looked like Germany was able to occupy a lot of France in 1940. But I think the Germans were sending rockets to like, England, and I'm sure maybe Ireland and possibly Scotland, to kind of frighten them and see if they would, kind of give in, which they never did. Of course, then by like midsummer 1944, you had the big invasion that turned out to be in northern France, and that day is just known as D-Day. And so it's something that's kind of out there, we don't really think about when it comes to the atomic bomb, except that I guess maybe we went ahead and actually got it all put together and then tested it out, I guess, in July of 45. And then, by then we had a different president, which was Harry Truman. But his predecessor, Franklin Roosevelt, was actually able to, know about this Manhattan Project program that was going on in the early 40s, and I think probably asking for all the updates he could get. And of course, it was, I'm sure, just about ready to go by the time his death happened in April of 45. And again, he's the only president to actually be in office the longest, and you here in the United States, to actually live in the White House for about 12 years. But I guess the man to follow him was Harry Truman. And he, I'm sure, was given all the orders and all the idea about what was happening, after he took over in mid-April, or somewhere right around then, around the 14th, 15th of April, 45. And so he was given like a lot of good information. And, and then just, that I'm sure he was then getting more information about, what this Manhattan Project was doing, and how that they were, actually going to be, able to go and take on another country. So, again, we tested it out in Los Alamos in July of 45, saw the results of it. I'm sure a lot of debate was brought up about, should we drop a bomb on another country? I know soon they were about to have, I think, an invasion in Japan, and they were going to see about, having, a massive amount of men to actually storm the beaches there in Japan, and it would be probably a massacre to, I'm sure, all the armed forces at that time. And there would have been, of course, a lot of civilians who were killed too there in Japan, but that never happened. And so it looked like the bomb kind of was able to kind of put that invasion on hold, because when, again, the first one was dropped on August 6th of 1945, it gave a chance for, on the city of Hiroshima. That made a big impact. And there were like about in that city 343,000 inhabitants there. And so that was kind of a really, that affected them. Or about close to 70,000 people died from the effects of the bomb. And then again, 3 days later, we went and actually dropped a bomb then on Nagasaki. And maybe the area was a little bit smaller, with the population. But I think that did kind of eventually then cause, I guess, Japan, after like 4 or 5 days later, like, well, I guess we better surrender, because now our opponent has bombs that they could just keep dropping all over our country. And at that time, they had their emperor, which is their king or their leader, a gentleman by the name of Hirohito. And I guess no matter meeting with his cabinet or not, but then they just surrendered around like August the 14th. And then by early September of 45, in the on a USS carrier known as like the Missouri, you had, and they were, I think, they were right by Japan, that they actually had Japanese representatives get on board, and the Americans signed and the Japanese signed, and there might have been some Europeans who were there. I don't know about Germany or anything, if they had representatives, but they possibly had like some British who were there. It's like, this way, Britain was kind of at war with Japan too, and possibly some people from France and so forth. But that kind of then totally by around September 2nd, September 3rd of 1945, but then really fully closed out. I guess it was close to what, almost 6 years of war. And so Germany had been defeated by May of 1945, and all of Europe was celebrating for that ending. And it's just time for them, I guess, to have to clean up and, I guess, reconstruct everything there. And Germany had to be humiliated and for what they had done. And their leader, Adolf Hitler, had taken his life. And so things changed there, except we had to deal with things in Japan and the Pacific. That was mostly being fought. We had the Navy there, we had the Marines, and we had the Army. And I think there was an early form of the Air Force that was probably connected with those services that then I think came about a few years later after 1945, that there was an Air Force component, and that was added to the military branches. But this was a big event, and by the late summer into the early fall of 1945, that really made big changes and impacted the whole world, not just America and Japan. And it really impacted the whole world, where it maybe had other countries want to consider building their own atomic bomb, or these hydrogen bombs, and these other types of bombs that are out there now that the 21st century is here. And so it's had a lasting impact. And there were two of them. One was called, I think, out of the two rocket, or the two bombs, they're not really rockets, but bombs, one was called Fat Man and one was called like Little Boy, and I think they kind of connect those two with two well-known political leaders of the Allied world, and that would have been England and the United States, where I think the Fat Man was kind of a shorter type, more thicker, heavier bomb, and it was called Fat Man, I think, in connection, I think I'm naming it for Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister during World War II, and then I guess, and then the Little Boy was referring to, I would think it was more of a longer, thinner type bomb, and it was connected to Franklin Roosevelt, the American president during World War II. Of course, both men, they were out of office by the mid-1940s, even though one died in office, the other actually had to step down because of an election. But, you know, I think it was Franklin Roosevelt who had died in office in mid-April of, you know, of 1945, and then a month later, I think there were going to be elections in England, where I guess Parliament was having elections, and not just electing members of their parliament, but I guess even for their prime minister, where I think that's when Winston Churchill stepped down, I guess by May or so. But I think he stayed on for a while until I think there was an actual election and stuff, I think by like maybe early July. Because Churchill had a chance to be at, I think it's in Potsdam, I think around June, early July, I think of 1945, to be with President Truman and then Premier and the leader of Russia, which was Joseph Stalin. And so they had met, and then I think after so many days, and I think then there was an election where Winston Churchill then was out of the picture, and a gentleman, I think named Clement Attlee, I believe it was. It was Attlee. I think he became the next prime minister. He's in office for a few years. But this is kind of a brief little rundown of kind of about a well-known significant event that kind of really ended World War II and made a big impact on, like I said, the whole world after both these were dropped. And I know there are always going to be people, each generation, to say, well, it was really wrong, it was evil, it was unintentional, it was kind of maybe kind of doing it on, from the, you know, kind of just for a whim or something like that, say, hey, let's just drop a bomb, that'll stop Japan from trying to force America or any other of the Allied troops to have to land on the island, I guess, and it was a very large island, Japan is, which would have been a massacre really on both sides of the military, and then again, Japanese civilians too. But I don't know, we're just always gonna have people who are just anti-bomb, and I'd say, you know, I'm an anti-bomb person, I'm not. I mean, I think there's probably times you need to use it when you have to, if you're, again, using it correctly. But again, sometimes on a whim, or just you say, yeah, let's just do this because that'll take care of the whole problem. But you really should, I'm sure, look at the whole problem and really do some thinking. And it was discussed, I'm sure, after, you know, President Truman was given word that it was dropped in July of 1945, that in New Mexico, but, you know, the I guess the effects and the after effects. So, but other than that, this just kind of gives you an idea and a rundown about a well-known event of that then caused the end of World War II. And they're really, so far, since now we're into the 21st century, and we're past 20 years into the 21st century, so, you know, it's just hard to say what's going to happen next, if there ever will be another World War. Like, if there'll be a World War III, we people think, you know, that could be the end of all wars, and that could be the end of the whole world, because we don't know what would happen after that if just everybody would just blow each other up with bombs and I guess, you know, poison gas and just, any kind of weapon they could use, you know, and people are not using their heads before they even actually do anything to really, you know, destroy their opponent. But America still kind of gets involved in wars now and then, I guess, because I guess maybe there's just some political leaders who want to be involved. But and there was hesitation, I guess, back in 40 and 41 and so on. What happened then about there were isolationists, I guess, in the Congress that did not want to be involved in any kind of war that was going on when Europe had started their war, you know, with the help of Hitler and the fall of 1939. So probably a lot of people hesitant here in America that said, why should we get involved in that? We were involved in World War I, which they used to call the Great War. So other than that, things really did change after the bomb was dropped, and it really kind of made other things, you know, go forward with maybe then other kind of bombs that were dropped in other parts of the Pacific, where it was done, you know, not just in Nevada, but maybe in Marshall Islands, which is in the Pacific, and then also then other years, like in 1949, where the Soviet Union, I guess dropped a bomb or had access to it, then I guess Great Britain, which would be England's part of it, back in the early 50s, and France by 1960, and, you know, and China and India in the 1960s and 1970s. So it's just kind of always been out there to have these bombs and so forth. So it kind of gives you an idea, rundown about the, you know, kind of an understanding about the atomic bomb and it dropping on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So just kind of hope everybody enjoyed this little interesting lesson today, and that they can take it with you and learn all they can, and go out and search it online if you see anything that's legitimate online that might be an actual historic site. I know you have the famous museum in America, the National World War II Museum, that's out of New Orleans, Louisiana, so I'm sure there's a lot of stuff about that. Sure, the Encyclopedia Britannica, that's a legitimate source online. I can give you a good understanding about this part of World War II, and I'm sure at that museum in New Orleans, there's probably stuff that talks about the very end, because that was actually at one time, that was an actual you know, it was kind of an actual it was a museum, I think, to D-Day, and then I guess it just converted to being one here in America, I guess, of the whole war. However, just get out and do some searching, and there's probably been plenty of books on this topic that's been around since after 1945, that between 1945 and past 2000, I'm sure there's been a good handful of books out there, besides articles, as usual, written in newspapers or in actual journals or magazines. But if you're looking for books, I'm sure there's a lot of good books on it that talk about the author who wrote it, about their thought about the decision that, you know, that the United States was going to actually try this bomb out on Japan, which is what they did in two different locations. So hope you enjoyed a lot. Again, this is your friendly historian, John Swearingen, and we just hope you have a great rest of the summer, since this is August of 2020, and I know the fall will be coming up soon, and probably people are ready for some cooler weather. So hope wherever you're at, you're having a good time, and you enjoy this little podcast, and there'll be more to come. The ones who are out there listening to this, I just kind of want to give you some insight about this topic today, because all these topics I put out there are more of inspiring you to go out again and maybe read more about it. There used to be a commercial, I think, in the early 80s, I think, or mid 80s or so, where it'd be at the very end of, maybe see it on Saturday morning cartoons, on a commercial where it talked about something, but it was just talking about to read more about it, because it was trying to tell you about maybe a certain topic and about a person or something in history or an event. So It's an interesting little commercial. If you ever look at it, I think look up through Google, not Google, I don't know if you have Google it or on YouTube, but maybe see the commercials for read more about it or something like that. So, hope all goes well, and it goes really good, and we'll just have to see.
To learn more about the celebration of Christmas, the Library of Congress suggests these books: Celebrating Christmas Around the World by Herbert H. Wernicke.
Well, that's kind of what it is, I guess, a clip. So that's kind of something that I was able to find real quick through CBS doing that called Read More About It. It would show a television, then it would start to show, you know, when it go to the side of the television, it'd show like, then like it started looking through this, like it was like pages from a book were going by, and then it goes to the topic or something like that. But yeah, that was just something from a thing about Christmas or something like that. But yeah, it was just something that was on CBS in the 1980s, and I think this is from the late 1980s, but it's just something neat about it, and it's telling you about maybe what the Library of Congress might have. But your local library would have books on this if you go get assistance from a librarian at a library, because again, librarians are just as important as a lot of the people out there in the world too. Well, enjoy the rest of the summer, and I'll come back soon. Your friendly historian John Swearingen will be back in the history room again one day. So have a good one, and hope you learned a lot about this topic on the atomic bomb. Have a good one.